Welcome back. This is part two of CIOs and Podcasts. Our guest today is John McMullen. John is the CEO of LGC Capital, essentially an investment holding company for global cannabis assets, and one of the more unique investment vehicles that I've seen in the space, John. So as we were doing our little tour around the globe, I know you have some operations in Switzerland, or I think most specifically in Geneva. So tell us a little bit about that. And, you know, I know Switzerland is not part of the European Union, but it's part of a, I guess, a free trade agreement with the European Union. So how does that all fall into the mix?
Well, in LGC's position, Geneva is actually a very good, almost like a hub for us, because it allows us to work in a country that can create very, very interesting products. Verity is the name of the company, and we did a deal with them upwards of about 6 months ago, and they've already harvested 2,700 kilograms of 1% THC content cannabis light. As I touched on earlier, Italy is very low THC, but Geneva is different. So that shows the differences between the countries. And what I really, really appreciate out of Verity is that they are working with, for instance, their pre-rolled cigarettes, which are coming in a pack of five, which are sold in over 500 locations in the country. But what's also very exciting is the development of their CBD-based cosmetic lines. And if anyone goes to Verity's website, and if any of your listeners go to lgc-capital.com, you'll find the link in our companies to Verity, where they're going to see some pretty incredible branding and also awareness of what Verity is doing in the space. I think they're fantastic.
Okay, let me unpack that a little bit, because I just want to make sure I understand this. What is the attraction to a low THC product or cigarette? Is it that low THC actually implies high CBD concentration, or are they using it specifically for the low THC content?
People, it's a pathway for people to enjoy high CBD, which is more readily and widely available to the consumer. They don't need a prescription. They can buy it in a store, at tobacco. For instance, the pre-rolled cigarettes are widely available in tobacconist shops throughout Geneva. So it gives the consumer the ability to access product. It's an alternative to smoking tobacco, and it is something that people would prefer to have. There have been many studies done in the area. We've done some consumer-based studies, and it is a great alternative for people to choose and transfer their use from tobacco to cannabis light.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I seem to recall also from reading some of your materials, and maybe even hearing you speak at a conference, some of the products that may be in Italy or Switzerland are actually dispensed through vending machines. Did I get that right?
That's correct. Actually, I can give you a real-time example. Some time ago, I was in San Remo, and we were in a courtyard of a lovely tourist area, and we were down by the water, and you go to a dispensary machine, and you would swipe your tax card, and then you'd put in your Visa card. So when people talk about buying product, you can use your Visa card or your credit card and buy a gram of CBD and CBD bud from anywhere between 10, you know, Easy Joint sells them anywhere between 10 to 14 euros a gram, compared to Canada at $10 Canadian a gram.
Wow. So freely available, in other words. There's no,
yes.
I guess, and there's no age restriction, is it? I mean, anybody of any age could do that.
Well, you have to look at the age, because they're using a tax card. So the registration is there. There are requirements in place.
Yeah.
Now, a child cannot buy this. No. I will say that one thing that we pride ourselves is that when children who need medical use of THC products for what they need that a doctor prescribes them, that comes through. But we can touch on that in a few more moments in other countries, and you'll see a better example.
Okay. All right, let's do that. So one more country I want to go to before our next break, and it's a country that's second closest to my heart, let's put it that way, because I spent many years living there, is Australia. Tell us about what's going on down under, what's the mood like. You guys have got a grow operation in Perth, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, we have a growing operation in Perth, and I'm proud to say that the company that we partner with is Little Green Pharma. and they're a private company, and we met them over 2 years ago, and what they've done is pretty spectacular. They are the first Australian-based company to actually grow and distribute medical THC products to the population. Any other company in Australia to date is importing product, which is much more expensive. So to my point earlier of a child needing something, this is highly regulated, very, very strict regulations, you know, prescriptions from medical doctors for medical THC products. And they're doing a phenomenal job.
How do you see the market developing in Australia? Do you think it's going to move to like a California-like market or more of a Canadian-type market or recreational? What's your views?
My views at this point is that it's going to be, and I've said this publicly before, it's almost like Australia's where Canada was in 2013, 2014. So I think it'll follow the Canadian market. Canada being one of the few countries that has actually legalized both medical and recreational, it's been a great footprint and almost a rule book or playbook for countries to follow. And the Office of Drug Control, the OD, in Australia is very regulated. And I think that it's going to grow substantially over the next couple of years as it becomes more mainstream. And I think Australia, like for instance, there are reports out there where the Oceania market could be worth $25 billion. So it's not a small market by any means. It's a very exciting market for people to be a part of, especially us.
Now, so let's unpack that a little further. When you say Oceania, that refers to more than just Australia and New Zealand, I assume, maybe some of the South Asian countries as well?
Yes, you're seeing other countries come online with legislation and openings up of use of cannabis, and I think you're going to see more of that over the next number of years. And people are starting to watch what's happening there. And the other thing too is that Australia, just because, you know, we want to focus on that, their government is open to export. So you'll start seeing Australian product, especially what I hope to see in the near future, Little Green Farmer product on shelves in Europe, which would be absolutely spectacular for the company.
Okay. I'd like to come back to that and understand the export model a little better, but we'll take one more short break and we'll come back with John and wrap up our tour of the world and then a few other points.